T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Turpentine Creek Wildlife Refuge rescued 8 big cats from Wildlife in Need, which was once owned by Tim Stark. It was a pseudo-sanctuary located in Charlestown, Indiana, that was featured on the Netflix docuseries Tiger King. Rescue team returned to Arkansas with 4 lions and 4 tigers in tow. The animal residents were released into their habitats. Now, unfortunately, all the animals have a certain amount of health concern. 2 in particular, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, one's a 15-year-old and the other's a 4-year-old, battling parasitic infections, skin ulcerations, and basically they need help to make sure that they can take care of these animals with turpentine.
Well, listen, this stuff's been going on everywhere. And if there's an upside to the poor treatment of these animals, it's the light that's been shown on it through the Joe Exotic documentary. Now, we all enjoyed it because of the characters, but the real people who suffered in this is not a Baskin or a Joe Exotic. It's those poor animals. And that's the thing that I think so many people missed. We were so caught up in the story that we've kind of glossed over the fact that the real trouble here and the trauma is these poor animals. They're bred, they're snatched away from their mothers way too early. They're held and cuddled and handled by strangers until they're too big, and then they're just left to die. Once they're no longer earning for this a zoo, for this carnival, it's not a, we're not talking about what Turpentine Creek is. This is a real sanctuary where all the animals are spayed and neutered. And if you see a cub in there, it's because the animal came in pregnant.
Yeah.
It is an accredited and loved, and time again, it's shown it's, you know, there are other legitimate places in the United States, but I will tell you, I've traveled all over this place. I've been to a bunch of them, and the one I've always come back to and said, man, I cannot find fault. I can't find any way I would change anything other than, you know, giving them more money to improve even further is Turpentine Creek. And these guys I can tell you, well, I'm going to get Tanya on this. We'll talk about this story real quick. We'll have her tell you about the Colorado story. This dude, they had to hire a guy with full weapons to protect themselves. They had to go in there armed because the guy had ripped off so many people, had done so many bad things. It was this constant con man that it was literally almost a gunfight to get these animals out of there.
Jesus.
It was
like a standoff.
Well, and then once they took control of the property, he was going to come back and shoot everybody. There's so many different stories in this world because you're talking about hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars of opportunity missed for these con men. And these guys, they're not fond of Turpentine Creek because they come in and they do the right thing. Hey, Tanya, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Johnny. Good morning.
Hey, I was just kind of got off on a tangent there, but I was trying to explain to them that you guys go all over the country saving these animals, and every time the situation is different. You never know if you're walking into some maniac with a goddamn gun, some con man who stole hundreds of thousands of dollars from people, somebody who's just somebody who mistreats these animals and profits on the animals themselves. It's every situation is a little bit different.
Yes, it is. That's for sure. This one was really crazy because when we got there, we had to meet at a local grocery store and meet the U.S. Marshals. SWAT was there. The Indiana State Police was there. There was picketers out front. So it was pretty crazy going into this situation, and I felt pretty comfortable. But, you know, whenever there's guns involved and stuff and these guys carrying these huge guns, you know, you're in a serious situation.
So you get a call for this to help. And this is the guy from the Tiger King documentary, Tim Stark, up in Indiana. And his facility was certainly terrible. Concrete, small cages, animals not taken care of. He was another one of those, guys who bred cats simply to have cubs. And then when the cubs were no longer useful, well, I you know, nobody wants to pay just to feed an animal that doesn't make him money.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it was one of the craziest rescues I've been on. I mean, we've rescued over 500 animals over the years, so I've seen a lot of things over the years going into these places where they're just in bad shape. But these animals were pretty terrified when we got there. All the big cats were the only things left when we arrived, so they had already taken out over 100 other types of animals. And then, you know, Tim's still on the loose. He's a fugitive by the law, so because he's taken some animals and put them in a box truck with no ventilation, no food or water on a neighbor's property, you know, right next door. And, of course, they found that box truck full of animals. And then another, he's still at large with a whole bunch of other animals that he had taken before the court, after the court order. So
what happens to a guy like him? Now, he obviously loses his exhibitor license. He can't do this again, at least in that state. I don't know if it federally keeps him from ever doing this again, but, you know, all the trouble he's caused, all the pain and suffering to these animals, ultimately, what's the penalty when they catch him?
Well, I'm not sure what will happen to him once they get him, but, you know, I'm sure he's going to go to jail. And if he doesn't produce the animals, he's going to be there a long time. So I think there was like $160,000. I don't know how they come up with values because we don't ever buy animals, but it's probably through the Indianapolis Zoo that came up with the values of the animals. So, but, you know, we just went in there to help. That's all we are here for. And PETA had contacted us. You know, we've known about this for a long time, two months. And we've been on standby because we never knew whenever the court order was going to actually happen or when they were going to be able to get in. And, I mean, it was just kind of crazy because these poor animals, you know, he was declining them. That's such a bad thing for a big cat. I mean, our cats live to be over 20 years old a lot of times. And once they get in their aging years, they're actually not able to walk right if they've been declawed because they really need those claws. So, you know, it's just pretty pitiful to see some of these big cats, you know, and they're on their back part of their paw trying to get around, and it's just a mess, you know.
It's so many
little worms, you know, that they've never been treated. I haven't even seen a vet. The one chief, he's a male lion. He's a beautiful male lion, but he's just really thin. And I mean, we checked him for parasites. Our vet did, and he was just full of parasites in a serious condition.
See, so, to me, that's it. Just
we're working on him now.
I only know what you guys do, so I know that you've got, you know, you've always got vets on call or on site or, you know, on staff. You've got all these medical students from great veterinary colleges from across the United States, zoology students. It's, you know, you are so under the microscope where you are. It's incredible we still have these other facilities that are doing these things. I mean, you know, the idea that most of these animals have never seen a veterinarian, it really bums me out how these guys still get away with so much animal cruelty for profit.
Yeah, it's pretty sad because, you know, we have a vet that lives, I mean, she doesn't live on site anymore, but she's on site 2 days a week. So, and we've got about 100 big cats and bears. So it's important to us to be able to afford a vet, to be able to take care of, make sure that we're doing everything we can to give these animals the best life they can live in captivity. They're all wild animals. They're all exotic animals. They're lions, tigers, cougars, leopards, bears, you know, so they're huge animals, and it takes a special person to be able to take care of these animals and make sure they get their needs met with food and medicine and all the different things. So, you know, it's pretty sad whenever you see these people, and there's more of these Tiger King associates that are going to go down. So don't be mistaken. That show was, you know, it was kind of funny and stuff, you were right. It surely misled the people on the animals and focusing on the animals. It was not there.
No, that's what I worried about the most was I didn't want them to see this ridiculous show, this documentary with these giant characters. And listen, the Joe Exotic guy, if you remove the animal cruelty, I thought he was hilarious. You know what I mean? I watch him and go, "You're a maniac. You're entertaining." But, you know,
there are two stories.
We miss the truth of it all, which is this abuse of animals for profit. And you know, I didn't want that to be anything that people thought that you guys do at Turpentine Creek in Arkansas. You know, I've been friends with you guys, and I knew your parents, and you know, for almost 25 years, and, you know, there's no more legitimate of a place. There's nobody who works harder than that. You know, to lay all this out, you want to talk about a great documentary. These guys spend their lives trying to keep these doors open for a nonprofit because it's a multi-generational family that cares deeply about these animals. Your father and mother bought all that acreage. You grew up raising and learning about these animals. Your kids are now working there, and nobody's wealthy, nobody's rich, and it's a beautiful facility. All of the money goes back into a new habitat, a bigger area, a healthier place, a better veterinary clinic, better situation for the cats, not roller coasters and how do we get more people in and having monkeys dressed up like people. It's nonstop improving your situation. Then, in the middle of that, you get a call that you have to walk into a hostile situation where half the time, I feel like truly these con men are maniacs. Like the Colorado situation. You guys had an armed guard up there while you were trying to figure out how to get those animals and what you were going to do with them, whether they're going to stay there or come to Arkansas. And you were genuinely in harm's way up there.
Oh, definitely. That was a pretty scary situation. I ended up staying boots on the ground for about 7 months through that ordeal. Yeah. I'm glad that we were in and out of this dark place in one day. So that was pretty awesome. You know, it was about 11 hours, 600 miles for us to go to Tim Stark's place. And in Colorado, we had just taken over the property, and we've actually purchased the property, and all the animals stayed with the property. So that worked out for us. But yeah, it was a fiasco dealing with the people, and all these guys are just alike. You know, they're just scum of the earth that, you know, are just trying to make a profit on these animals, and they really don't care what happens to them after they're 4 months old and they can't take photos with them any longer unless they're going into the breeding population. If they're not going to be able to go into the breeding population, I've heard stories of some of these guys just throwing them in an incinerator whenever they're that age just to get rid of them.
Sure.
So it's just disgusting.
Yeah, and this is a lifelong passion for Turpentine Creek. It's you guys have worked so hard for so long, and you know, and here's the other thing is you also there's a flip side. There's a whole world out there that are so cynical with any time they see an animal inside a cage that no matter how hard a great and truly fantastic place works, there's somebody who wants to try to tear it down. And you know, I watch you guys work so hard to keep everything so up to date and so possibly that there's just no way anybody could ever poke a hole in. And then you have these other guys running around that are just doing incredibly inhumane things to these animals, profiteering. The situation they live in is terrible. It's all concrete. It's all caged. It's all far too small. No veterinary care. Nobody's been wormed. The food is completely unacceptable. You guys, it's sometimes I feel sad for you because I know that it's a never ending war with the entire planet, it feels like.
You're right, Johnny. And, you know, we're just blessed to have people like you on our side that have watched our growth and have watched how we work and act and do recognize that. And I really appreciate that because it means a lot coming from you. I know what a big animal lover you are. And, I mean, we just love you guys to death at 98.9 The Rock.
Well, no, you guys, it's an amazing, like I said, multi-generational, you know, situation you guys have at Turpentine Creek. It was started by your mom and dad. And again, this is how many years ago did Turpentine open? 30?
1992. We're 28, almost 29 years this year. So.
And your mom and dad had a real belief and a love for these animals. But the learning curve had to be fast, and it really, you know, because they didn't have a background in zoology.
No, they didn't. You know, my dad did work at the Dallas Zoo years ago, and we got the first lion cub in 1978. So I've been around this pretty much my entire life. But that lion came from a car dealer friend that went to repossess a car out of Little Rock, Arkansas, and the car went in there, but there was this cute little lion cub tied to a cinder block, and he left his card and took the cub, and next thing you know, they're trading whatever sold on the car for this lion cub. Well, Dad saw that they weren't taking care of the cub properly and ended up trading 5 motorcycles and a trailer for this cub.
Yeah.
And that's where it all started, and that was in 1978. So It's just continued since then. In 1992, we started the refuge here. It was due that we ran into a lady that knew we had, at that time, we had ended up with two lions. And she had approached us to help her. She was the same. She's the same con people that Tim Stark and these other guys are too, though. So, you know, we really got swept under the rug on that one. But what it did was it made us buy this 459 acres here in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and start this big rescue for these type of animals. It really opened up our eyes. There were so many animals out there that needed help. And, you know, if we didn't help them, we felt like they were going to be destroyed. And they're too beautiful to be treated that way. You know, they deserve respect and dignity, and that's what we give them here. So,
you know, and some are rescued from these fake zoos. I'm sorry, go ahead, Tanya.
Go ahead.
I was saying that some are rescued like from these fake zoos, like, you know, the Joe Exotic one. But a lot of them are some knucklehead who can buy, because you can buy a tiger. They buy a tiger, and then they try to raise it in their backyard, and one day they realize, I can't take care of this. Or their heart takes over, and they go, this is not the situation that it should be in. Mm-hmm. Or a drug dealer, or it's some weird backwoods deal. You know, it is never-ending, or a carnival, or a circus that's traveling. You find these the most incredibly sad situations. You find animals, a tiger, a lion, in a basically a giant dog kennel, and it hasn't left there in a year or two. Mm. It's and some of these animals are too far gone to ever be rehabilitated. They physically can't come back. Now, the eight that you guys just picked up from this Tim Stark POS, the eight, it looks pretty good right now. The one, I was worried that he wasn't going to be able to come back. He had stopped eating because of all that had been happening. But you say now that it looks like he's been eating again?
Yeah, he's really taken a fondness to our people here. He's a sweet animal. He's a big male lion named Chief. And, you know, we want the Kansas City supporters to help us get Chief back on track, because he is beautiful. He's got the most beautiful dark mane, and that means he's got high testosterone levels. But he was with a female, so we might have a pregnant female lion here. So we're just going to have our vet look over him this weekend. But, yeah, he's going to go in for a physical on Sunday. Our vet feels like he'll be healthy enough by that time, because we've been feeding him four or five times a day, and he's doing really good, just small amounts each time to get his stomach back where it should be. But he looks like he's got some kidney disease, probably. That's usually what it means whenever they start getting ulcerated areas. And but they were so full of parasites, it was just ridiculous. So we've already got that taken care of. He's on his way on this road to recovery, that's for sure.
Can he come back from that kidney disease?
We do have medications that we can treat it for. You know, we have a lot of old cats, because we take such good care of the animals here that, you know, anything over 14 is considered geriatric. And we have animals that live. We had one tiger live to be 27 years old.
So, oh, I know. Oh, man.
And yeah, it's so they live a long time in our care, and we make sure that they get, you know, if they need pain medicine or they need to be on a flat grassy area, short benches, short pools for the older animals, we accommodate them the best that we can. And like I said, we just want them to live out their lives with some dignity and respect.
Yeah, well, it's funny. The acreage she talks about in Arkansas, if you're just joining the show, this is my friend Tanya, who her family has run Turpentine Creek Animal Rescue for 30 years, 32 years, 28 as people know it now. And they've been rescuing all of these animals from these terrible places that you saw in the documentary, like Joe Exotic, the Tiger King, Tim Stark up in Indiana. They just rescued eight out of there. And they traveled the entire United States saving these animals and getting them out of those situations, taking them to a real sanctuary where they're not bred, where every animal is neutered or spayed, where they're really taken care of. They're not there for a circus. They're not there. You can admire them. You can walk through. These habitats are not 10 by 10. These are outdoors. These guys have almost perfected and become the gold standard in how you have these animals. So all the natural topography in Arkansas, the boulders, the trees, the grass, the creeks, it's fenced in. It's safe for the animal. It's safe for people. It's large. And they have this incredible real connection back to the earth again. And as it expands, it takes money. You guys, it really does. You need help. And it is such a different situation for these animals. You'll see them go from cowering, lifeless eyes to really the animal that they were always intended to be. And I'm telling you, there's nothing more powerful than going there in the morning, and when they open up and they start to feed, and you see that cat come down about 6 inches off the ground, this, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pounds, this animal's crouching with its full intent, like really low. Like, you know how you see your house cat go after something? Yeah. Imagine seeing a full-sized lion or tiger come down like that, but you see the life in him again.
Yeah.
And then, like you just spoke about, Tanya, the kind of the, in my head, I always call it the old lions area. And down at the bottom, there's a really beautiful area, and it's nice, and it's flat. As they get older, they go down there, and there's something really, it's sad, and it's also, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. It's just, it makes me feel better for them.
Maybe more tranquil environment.
Yeah, but you see these old guys that once you were the king, the king of the jungle, the fiercest, most feared animal, and they're older. Mm. And but they're not suffering, and they're being treated with respect. And we should all be so lucky, you know. But the old folks area, the old lines area, is for whatever reason that really struck a nerve with me the last time I was down there, Tanya. Probably because I'm getting older.
That's what we call Rescue Ridge. Yeah, Rescue Ridge developed whenever we had to go into a 32 cat situation, and they were basically in chicken wire and stuff. So the cages that were 6 foot tall with no tops on them. So I was a bit nervous on that one too, but. Like I said, we've done a lot of rescue. We've seen a lot of things. And, you know, it was pretty sad walking through Tim Stark's place and seeing all these empty cages just everywhere. And because we took the last tiger out at about 4 o'clock on Friday. So that was pretty cool.
Well, I'm glad for you guys. Listen, though, if you're just joining the show, the reason I wanted to let you all know is, dude, as we go into the fall, Turpentine Creek is open down in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. It's outdoors. It's safe. It's probably, like, again, we all know outside stuff is what you want. You can go down there. You can donate money. If you really feel moved, there's all kinds of programs you can do to help out. Most importantly, take your kids and teach them about this, why it's important. And it's not just important to save an animal. It's important to have empathy and understanding. It's important to be kind to everybody, not just an animal. Like, there's a lot to be learned in places like this for kids. And maybe remind us as adults, you know?
It's pretty cool. We just set up, because of COVID, we've had to change the way we actually exhibit the animals. So we've got a open-air tram, so everybody gets on a tram, and you don't have to walk the half mile. So if you're in your riding boots, if you're coming in for, it's not Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue this weekend, but there's bikers everywhere in Eureka Springs and all over Northwest Arkansas. So they canceled the main event because of the COVID, but, you know, people are still here. Bikes are rolling in like crazy. So y'all feel free to come on out to the refuge. We'll tram you around and show you our facility, and you can make a donation. All that goes back to the care and feeding of the animals. And without the donations and the people coming to the refuge, we couldn't do what we do. So we're just so proud of everybody that's helped. And I'm really proud of Johnny and the whole team there at 98.9 The Rock, because, like you said, we've known each other for at least 25 years, and you've always been there for us, and we really appreciate it.
No, but you guys, it's... Look, there's a lot of weird stuff going on in this world, and one of the things you can count on is people like you. Like, it's, and again, I come back to stuff like that where I see, I go, okay, what do we got going here? The real deal. Somebody's really taking care of these animals for the right reasons. It's all nonprofit, and it's filled with, you know, really good human beings. The people I've watched over the years move through Turpentine Creek, not just, you know, your family, but the volunteers and the interns and the kids that have come through and on their way through veterinary school, the people who really love these animals, every one of them. I mean, I think back through them all, and there's some really quirky people that are involved in that world. But all of them have the same heart, like the same real connection to these animals. And they work tirelessly, sun up to sundown, for so little. But it's all because of a genuine love for these animals.
So true. I mean, we've seen a lot of people come and go, but so many of them have stayed. I mean, our curator, Emily McCormack, she's been here for 21 years.
Yes.
You know, our assistant curator, she's been here for 21 years, too. So, yeah. I mean, and they wouldn't be here if they didn't love the animals, because you're right, they don't get paid very good. So we're really glad that we have the team that we have. And with that team, you know, we were able to go do the Colorado Project. I was able to be away from my own business for 7 months. and come back, and everything was still running so smoothly, you know. So that's pretty impressive.
Hey, and on a side note, your beautiful and wonderful daughter Miranda is going to get married next year, and it doesn't look like Scott's going to throw this guy over the tiger cage. So that's nice.
So far.
I kind of followed it on social media. I'm like, he looks legit. Like, this guy looks like he's not going to get chucked over the fence for once. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah, he's one of the good guys.
Yeah, no, he really is, dude. Everybody's doing well. How's Scott doing? I know he took a spill on his motorcycle out there and tore his arm and shoulder up, right?
Yeah. He's recovered completely. He was able to help with his rescue and lift and move everything. You know, he just did his, PT, and now he's just doing great. So, also, you know, Victor helped on this rescue, actually going with us and driving and all. That's my son, and he did so awesome. I mean, I was just so proud of Victor, and it's fun to watch your kids do what you do, and
sure,
they do it just as good as you do. You know, it's
absolutely
just awesome.
No, it's just wonderful. You got a beautiful family. I hope to see you guys soon. I hope you guys, I know that normally Scott would come up for the race in October, but, you know, the tickets are just gone. There's nothing there. And so I may not see you guys unless I find a way to get down that way. And so we were up here just taking care of Barger, and then when we figure out how that ends, then we'll find a way to see you for sure.
That sounds good. Scott's actually running the Arkansas 500 next weekend. So
nice.
That's a 500 miles on dirt roads here in Arkansas, and he's been doing this as a fundraiser for the refuge for probably 15 years now. So he took his pleasure and turned it into work, which I don't know why he did that, but I'm glad that it can raise a little money for the refuge.
All right, listen, I'm going to let everybody know how they can help. Put it on all our social media, guys. Turpentine Creek, you know, you can Google it. It's the Big Cat Sanctuary down in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. If you're down that way, definitely go in. You can jump online. You can read everything. It's all transparent, everything, where the money goes, how the animals are helped, what the refuge is like. It is an incredible good place, incredibly good place. So if you thought that Tiger King was interesting and you thought that it would be nice to help these animals and help these cats, here's a real and legitimate place you can do it. It's Turpentine Creek in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. I've known them for 25 years. They are absolute family to me. I mean, they stay at my house. I stay at their house. It's truly family. It's as good as you're going to get in this world. And I love you guys, man. So congratulations on your new rescue. I hope everything goes well.
Thank you, Johnny. Right. We appreciate it.
Stay right there. Hold on a second. It's I can go on and on because I'm so in love with these guys. Because they're just legit. Mm-hmm. It's just in a world of fake and ignorant and stupid and hateful, like, they're just so consistent with what they do. And like I said, mom and dad, Tanya and Scott and her brother who's passed away now, and then, of course, Victor and Miranda, and it's all family. It just is what it is. Hell, T's kid went down there.
He went down for like a week or so and volunteered down there.
That's fantastic.
I'm telling you, man, like, it's as legitimate as it gets.
Well, and the students that get to go down there, mm-hmm. and obviously have first, you know.
All these vets, big vet schools, mm-hmm. all send their kids down there. It was really hard. COVID was really tough with these guys. And it really took a lot of money out. And it's hard because it's nonprofit. And then you get this thing like this Tiger King, Joe Exotic. And what I worried about was that they were going to think, oh, that must be what they're like. And that's not. They're the exact 180-degree opposite of it. But that's what they fight against. So you get these people. And when I say animal rights people, I say that with love. Every animal has rights, and I do believe in what they believe. But sometimes they get so overzealous. You get these people who are so over the top. They're like, they shouldn't be in cages, to the point where you'll have people go, they should just be put to sleep because it's so bad. I'm like, really? You should kill them? You think that animal wants to die?
Yeah, it seems
because
like you're going the wrong route.
This is as good as it gets, man. These guys are working their ass off for a nonprofit. I've been in their home. It's a fine home, but it's a home like mm-hmm. you and I live in. Like, it's a regular
working
house,
family home.
A working family. This is not. I've ridden in their cars that they have. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's no profit here. And I'm not trying to tell you they're paupers. I'm trying to tell you, like, they're like us.
You do
working
it for the love.
Class. Yeah, nothing more. Because the amount of money that goes through this place and it takes to feed these animals every day.
I can't even imagine just that.
Because if they don't go get them, they die. They get euthanized by the local authorities wherever they're getting called to. That's how it happens.
Was it Chief? He hadn't eaten in 5 days.
Yeah.
Like they had to be.
No, they have no veterinary care. They have no help. They have no. And I mean, the basic care to keep them alive, but then the cruelty of the small cages, the concrete, the. And again, you know, in the beginning, a lot of people didn't know concrete wasn't okay. Turpentine at the beginning had a bunch of them, you know, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, everything has transitioned out into natural habitats, which is the way to do it. But these guys, but it was always big, you know?
Mm-hmm.
These guys, we're talking. Jake's room would hold a lion, and that's as big as
that's
it would
nothing.
Get. No, no.
That's
no.
Like half a jail cell. I
mean, no, it'd like be it like just... it's like keeping a Newfoundland dog in your bathroom. It's just, it's no good. It's no good. So you can help. Get down to Turpentine Creek. Go for yourself. Check the whole thing out. Jump online. Give them a little bit of hand. It's a good place, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.